둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
This behind you is not giving hotel room. Like, this is giving house.
Consequence Podcast Network.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here and checking out the series. Please do hit that subscribe button while you're around. I do three new interviews every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones at iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, or YouTube for the video versions. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Sabrina Carpenter. We're going to be talking about her new record called Emails I Can't Send. It's an album that reflects on her emotional trauma and drama sometimes of the last few years. We're going to be discussing the journey to allowing herself to be more publicly vulnerable, the press and rumors behind songs like Because I Like the Boy, and channeling Alanis Morissette, Dolly Parton, Joni Mitchell, Ani DiFranco, and Carole King on the tracks. Sabrina's also going to tell us about how switching record labels might have allowed for more freedom, starting a production company during the pandemic, and working with a tiger in one of her latest videos. All that and more. We're talking Emails I Can't Send. It's Kyle Meredith with Sabrina Carpenter.
Hello. That's a great intro. How are you?
It's great to see you. It's been great to listen to this new album. I just want to start with the compliments. You've always been a great musician, but there is something about this record that seems just worlds, like leaps and bounds ahead. Like something happened. I don't know what it is.
Trauma.
Well, trauma. Well, there trauma. We go.
No, I appreciate that so much. Thank you. That's all you can ever hope to do is if you go away for a few years in life, like grow. You know, and I think that was something that I I had always hoped would happen. I didn't know to what capacity it would happen. And I'm just so grateful. I've learned so much and I wouldn't, you know, trade any of it for the world. And I am very, very close to this album. So I'm just so grateful for everyone who's listened.
Well, the one thing that's really evident right from the beginning is it does feel like a deeper connection to storytelling. I know the story, as you've told many times at this point, that a lot of these lyrics started with emails, just, you know, that you were sort of diary-esque. But that still, you know, I think it should be said that the art in your storytelling is really evident on this. Doing it the way you did it and with this approach, like, what did that mean in the way that you approached the songs? And what was the story that you wanted to tell?
I think that's what's so interesting about it is that there couldn't have been one story that I wanted to tell other than just the life that, you know, I have been culminating over the last, I mean, technically I started the album almost 3 years ago, but I would say that the album dives into much deeper parts than just the last 2.5 years of my life. I think it was just maybe the moment that I decided to face kind of what came before, as well as what was happening in the moment. And also just not limit myself. I think, you know, I've learned so much from so many incredible songwriters and producers and people that have been doing this far longer than I have over the years of my life. And I have so much gratitude towards them. But I do think that maybe there was a sense of me feeling like I had to perform a specific type of way or be a specific type of voice, you know, at that time in my life. And maybe I was writing things, thinking about how they would perceive them, and writing stories of mine, thinking about how people would like connect them to me as a person, and less just being honest and less just saying what I actually felt and less just sort of, you know, being myself. And I think the last 2 years for everybody was sort of decided, all of us collectively kind of not to put up with as much bullshit as maybe we did in the past, or just kind of realizing life is too short to keep, you know, lying to ourselves about how we really feel. And there was so many of those moments where I would say to myself, like, you know, I'm very scared, but life is too short. Like, it's so much scarier to not say how I truly feel than it is to say how I feel in the moment, and maybe deal with some consequences. So that was sort of the fuel starter, I think, for the whole thing. And then it was just, I couldn't stop writing. And it really became like the only thing that got me through what I was going through. And the album was birthed so naturally and so organically. I couldn't have asked for a more beautiful like experience in making an album, because I just felt like I was closer to myself than ever before.
It is an interesting way to write. I mean, in one sense, all lyrics might be emails that you can't send in a way, but to specifically right. sort of frame it around that, like yeah. how much of that is a one-way street? Because I don't know, are there response songs? Like, you don't exactly get the response that you would from an email in that way.
Right. Wait, that's a good question, but what do you mean specifically?
Yeah, it's just the way that you wrote them. Like, when you put them out there like that, I guess I'm asking, like, of the parts that we don't see here, because obviously we're only seeing what you're giving us, you know. But in that context of not just lyrics, but letters that you're sending. Like, when you would send a letter, you would get a response. When you send these out, it's not the same way, other than just maybe with your listeners.
Oh, I get a response. Like, don't get it twisted. No, it's interesting, because that was the whole sort of reason behind these being things that I never probably would have wanted to say to myself, let alone to anybody else. And I think what was so interesting about it is there was a very vivid, like, one that I was sort of writing to myself at a time where I was just like, this is so stupid. Everything I'm writing makes no sense. And like, none of this is going to mean anything to me. I just need to say it. Otherwise I will go crazy. And it's those moments where, like, I don't want to put that on my friends. I don't want to put that on my family. I don't even know if I want to put that on a therapist. I just need to process that myself. And it was that particular one that I went back and I looked at, and I was like, there's just so many honest things in here. And as dumb as they are, honestly, that is sort of my sense of humor, one. But two, it is the closest to how I truly felt in the moment without all of the overthinking and me going, maybe this doesn't sound aesthetic enough, or maybe this doesn't sound like it's a tattooable lyric. Like, I would think about those things. I would think about, you know, the things that I feel like maybe my audience was going through, and less about what I was actually going through. And I think, you know, I'd been really lucky to be making music before that, since I was much younger. And so to be able to like peel back sort of those layers that maybe I had built up, and walls that I had built up for a really long time, was very, very necessary.
Which song was that that you're referencing?
Emails I Can't Send.
Oh, because of the title track. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was essentially the title came out so easily, because I was just like, I should just call this Emails I Can't Send. And then that was it. And usually like I'll really overthink an album title specifically too. But then it just made sense when I thought about every song. It all stemmed from these things that I was just like, maybe someone's going to be mad. and maybe I'm going to be mad, and maybe everyone's going to be mad. But that is life. And if any part of your life that you're going to experience those feelings in, it probably is going to be right around now. Like for me, at least early 20s, and just fresh out of my first pandemic, and you know,
like there's some of those, especially with that style, the style that we're talking about. Not only get on this for another moment here, but like even in the song Skinny Dipping, like when I heard that, like my first thought was, oh, like Alanis Morissette, like she was really great at this. Like I always called those her letter songs, that, you know, they always started like a letter. Were you like obviously channeling anyone, you know, inspirations, anything like that when you were writing? Like, was that on your mind?
You know, there were so many artists that my mom and dad introduced me to when I was very young, like Alanis, a huge one, Joni Mitchell, Ani DiFranco, Carole King, Dolly Parton. Like there was so many of them that I grew up just being so in love with. And I think for a really long time, what just was so funny to me is I was like, I can't reference these artists. They're almost too brilliant. I would never want to step into like that sort of universe of things that were just done so well. But then I sort of realized that it was just like, that was the kind of music that made me feel something, and something so strong, and a feeling that I could never like capture in any other way other than to just rant. And I think that there was a lot of those moments where, you know, I definitely pulled inspiration from the great ones. And it sort of depended. Sometimes it would just happen in a more musical element. Like I definitely think, you know, Dolly was an inspiration to me for a few of the sonics on the record, especially some of like pedal steel moments, and just really the live instrumentation came from, you know, so many of the incredible artists I grew up listening to. So definitely, I mean, that was the music that got me through really hard times in my life. So it was obviously the music that I was turning to that felt like it was an inspiration to me, definitely.
I do love hearing that Dolly was a part of this. And I mean, she's always having a big moment, but even being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame here in a couple months, like, she's like the greatest.
Deservedly so. She's phenomenal. I start every morning, I listen to Heartbreaker by Dolly Parton on vinyl. Like, it's my favorite album. And I think it's very evident, like definitely certain times I'll listen to things. I'm like, oh, Dolly's influence always lives.
When you get into a song like Because I Like the Boy, you know, and I'll go back to what you're saying, like, okay, you definitely hear feedback. I think this is one of those. But for all the things that I think has been talked about in the media, the one thing that I haven't heard a lot, and the thing that I heard when I first heard it wasn't about whatever might've been happening in your life, but more about how people are treated online and in the media. How much of that was on your mind with a song like that? Because again, I'm sure there is a big personal connection there, but it does seem to go further. Like there was a reaction before this song was out.
What's so fascinating to me is the way that it has applied to so many people's lives, like that I've seen so far after it's been released, in such a different way than I experienced it, but still in such a powerful way. It's sort of like the domino effect, how like one little choice in your life can affect so many things. And I think it was never like, I didn't sit down to write the song about cyberbullying. I don't think I could take myself seriously writing that, because it's almost too real. And, you know, I think that there was so many layers to that that it's so funny, because it's great that that's something that you took away from it, because it obviously was real to me, but it wasn't something that I was consciously writing from. I really was just like, start to finish, let me just tell the story the way that it happened to me. And, you know, it's been so inspiring, if anything, seeing the way that people have kind of taken it and used it to empower themselves.
And it's so insanely catchy. Thanks. The amount of time I walk around with that song in my head, which is an odd song, I think, for me to walk around. I feel like it's an odd song, but
someone said like it's a terrible song for the people that like to sing under their breath all the time, because they're just seeing that they're a homewrecker and a slut all the time. It is very funny, though. I did say to my friend, I was like, I truly was just mostly excited to sing this song live and to have a crowd sing that they're a slut very loud. I think that'd be very fun.
There are those catchy moments everywhere. Fast Times, I mean, the piano and the strings and the guitar. By the way,
favorite.
You brought back guitar solos. That's
I don't know if I single-handedly did, but I definitely needed that for myself.
It is. What a great mix in that. And then, of course, on Nonsense, like, you know, of course, you get playful at the end of it. Are there lines that didn't make the cuts?
Yeah.
Like, are you able to say some of those? Are those out there already?
No, they're not out there. And you know what? I'm going to keep them to myself for now. Some of them are just too dirty. And then some of them were just really ridiculous. Like, it wouldn't make any sense. What was funny is there was one of the ones that was in the outro was initially in the chorus. And I was like, I know it's called Nonsense, y'all, but like, this is going to go right over people's heads. Like, and so that was kind of what inspired us to put them in the outro, because I was like, it deserves to be heard. It's a good laugh and we all need a good laugh. And so we put them in the end of the song. But yeah, that was definitely the most fun I've had writing a song, for sure.
I think champagne fueled, possibly. I think I read that somewhere.
It could have been champagne. Could have been some other cocktail. We were still present, you know what I mean? But we were definitely letting loose. This was probably, I think we tried to write a really sad, dramatic song that day. And this was like the Hail Mary of like, let's just try to write something else. And then that's usually kind of how the fun ones really happen.
It's a good one. I enjoy that moment in the album right there. How much of this, being able to do this kind of album, comes from not being on Hollywood Records anymore?
You just asked straight up, didn't you? No, it's a good question. You know what? It's so interesting, because I really feel like, I mean, I signed with them when I was 12 years old. Naturally, you're going to go through so many different chapters of your life where, you know, I genuinely thought maybe the music I was making was what I wanted to be making at that time, because I was 12, 13, 14. And then you kind of enter a new phase of your life and you have completely different preferences and taste and experiences inspiring what you're doing. And I am very grateful in the sense that, you know, when I did change, I was able to change. I think there was just other aspects of me that felt like I couldn't have made this record before I made it. And a lot of it just had to do with myself. You know, and a lot of it had to do with the life that I had allowed myself to experience, and then also just like allowed myself to verbalize and feel comfortable verbalizing. And I think it had more to do with me than anything else. But I also am so grateful for Island's support in me as a songwriter, and also from day one, you know, me coming to them having a very different vision than maybe what they had anticipated when they started working with me, based on like maybe what they heard of what I was making before. And they were very supportive, and I'm very lucky in that sense.
Well, it's a very cool new chapter.
Thanks.
That you've put out right here. And how busy is the rest of the year? Like, I know Emergency, that was at the beginning of the year. What's next on that front?
Yeah, I mean, that's also been such a whirlwind. I'm so grateful, because I started my production company in the pandemic, and that's been such an incredible learning experience for me. And there's a few projects that I'm producing right now, and it's all happening at the same time as like a project that I really care about just like was born into the world. So it's definitely a balancing act, but I'm so focused on the music of it all right now, and just excited for what comes next after that. Hopefully some live shows. Can't say too much, but definitely huge part of it all.
Well, I know in the meantime, we also have the videos, which are really entertaining. I was just watching one of the shorts about you and the tiger, like having the tiger around. So that's because when you can do it, like it used to be always be a thing. I think like back in the 80s, I would hear about artists. They always like everybody wanted a monkey. Like, what can we have? Let's have a monkey. But you got a tiger.
Why did they want a monkey?
Who knows why? It's funny. I don't know.
Just like eras, I guess. Sure, that was the era of the monkey. Yeah. I had always dreamed of working with a tiger. Life of Pi was like the fuel. I love that movie so much. Obviously, that was a CGI tiger. And obviously, I got really lucky to have Sheikah, the real live tiger. And yeah, it was so incredible. I mean, I think it also was a really interesting way to tell that story in like a not, maybe not the same way that people hear the song. So that was really exciting to me. And film has always been a huge part of my life and inspiration and what I do. So to be able to kind of like make your songs into these like little mini feature films is so special. I'm very lucky because it's too fun to be a job sometimes, you know.
They're great pieces to watch. I really do mean that. They're a lot of fun. Sabrina, emails I can't send. It's such a good album. Congratulations.
Thank you for listening and thank you for supporting it. It means the world to me, truly.
Absolutely. Thanks for taking the time to talk about it.
You're the best. Thank you so much for taking the time.
My thanks to Sabrina Carpenter. The new album is called Emails I Can't Send. Thanks to you as well for, again, checking out the episode. Please do hit that subscribe button before you get out of here. 3 brand new interviews every single week. New one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at iTunes, Apple Podcast, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, or YouTube for the video versions. Anywhere you get your podcast from, subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. An hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, Facebook, Instagram, mostly on Twitter, all 3 of them, at Kyle Meredith. That's a web address, at Kyle Meredith. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Like anytime I see Jack Harlow post about Kentucky, I'm like, maybe it's not so bad. He seems to like it, you know?
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.